Hey, Kat.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
That's good.
The last time we did this was a long distance.
Yeah. I was living, I don't know what the distance is, but it was a long way away, Malaysia. On the phone. That seems like a long time ago now. Well, that was in amongst the whole COVID.
COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah. Seems like a dream now, doesn't it?
So I can remember, like we're going to go back in time. I can remember watching you as a three-year-old teaching imaginary children.
Three?
Yeah.
That
three
young.
Or four.
Yeah.
To imaginary children in a classroom.
Yeah.
And here you are. You're now a qualified teacher.
Now 33.
33.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Qualified teacher.
Yeah.
And you've been teaching for not quite a year?
No. Graduated in July.
Yep. But you've discovered some things in like a really short time. It's like almost been a shock, hasn't it?
Quite powerful. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite heavy, actually. And I do wonder, I say to myself, if I knew what was involved in teaching in school, if I went back, would I do this degree again? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, that's interesting because you started out doing a nursing degree and pretty quickly you discovered what the medical system was all about.
Yeah.
And you figured out that it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
You weren't going to be able to put your hand on your heart and say, this is my direction.
So I did about a year and a half of that. And yeah, it was just clashing with my values and what I thought. And I wondered how I would come to work every day and do this. And now, unfortunately, it's much the same with teaching, even though I've finished my degree now. It's clashing with my values.
What way?
Well, I go to school and I teach and I wonder if it's actually a good thing at all that we're at school and the kids are at school in the classroom. And I wonder if I'm even doing them justice, you know? But I think because I'm just a relief teacher now, I shouldn't say just, still a lot. But my aim now when I go into a classroom is not to necessarily teach explicitly. It's more, let's get to know each other. Share with me what you know. Share with me what you don't know or what you want to know. Or, you know, tell me what makes you excited and let's go from there and let's have fun. That's my aim. And I think that's the good thing about being a relief teacher. I can go in those days and just have that mindset. Whereas if I was a teacher with contract, I couldn't do that. You have to have things that you do.
Well, you had some experience on contract and straight away you found it to be like very challenging.
That was soul destroying. That was every day coming home upset. There was nothing left of me. It wasn't probably very good on the relationship because I was miserable. Paid me well, but was it worth it? Definitely not. What I witnessed there, I'd never witnessed before ever, and it was such a shock because I went from my memories of school, and you know, and you probably have this, your memories of school, when your teacher steps up in front of the class, you know it's time to listen. You know, there might be some naughty kids in the class or, you know, some kids chatting, but you know it's time to listen, they're the teacher and that's what you do. But now, it's not like that at all. There's no respect for teachers, you get sworn out every day, I was getting things thrown at me.
What age group?
I had class five, so 11 year olds, walking in and out of the classroom, refusing to work, hitting each other. The bullying is like next level.
And yet there's supposed to be no bullying at school.
Yeah, yeah. And every time I talked to leadership about it, it would just be like, oh, well, that kid's, you know, experienced trauma, so we can't do anything about that. You just have to just keep mentioning your class agreements, you know, what you expect from them. It's just like, no. This is when I need leadership to come in and do something about it. Because I don't think anyone should be going to work copping abuse, getting things yelled at them.
No.
You know, that's just not. As a teacher as well, like we've got so much respect for these cops and nurses and doctors. What about these teachers that are really raising the kids?
Well, if you go into any supermarket or a lot of restaurants now, there's a banner up on the wall saying we're not here to take abuse.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be like that, you can leave.
Well, that's exactly right.
But yet the teacher has to
Yep. And there was no, like, all right, well, this is what we'll do. We'll get them out of the classroom. And the other thing is, there's so many words you can't use. I think discipline is such a good word to use, because we all need discipline in our lives. I need discipline in my life that's going to get me to the gym. It's going to help me eat well. It's going to help me think positively. You know, I need that discipline, and it's not, but we look at it as like it's a bad thing now. You know, you can't discipline your kids. Well, no, you don't want to hit them. We're not going to do that. But they need to know where the line is.
Mm.
And that line is, there's no line anymore. Kids do what they want. At that school, anyway.
So have you seen this in other schools, that it's similar? Or?
That was the worst of it. Quite shocking. Like, anyone would go into there and think, what is going on right now? And if I had a child in that school I was at, I would be taking them straight out if my kid was going there. But I have been to other schools where it's the totally opposite end. They're so strict, and you can't even hold a pencil while the teacher's talking, or you'll be sent to the office. So it's like from one extreme to the other, and you don't know which one's good. Is either of them good? Because then that strict school, they're all sitting at their desk, and it's, you know, they've all got their iPads in front of them, and you can't move and you can't talk, and it's so strict, and it's like, that's not healthy either, surely. Surely you want your kids to be
almost like a prison.
Yeah, yeah. Like, surely you want your kids to be free in a way that they can pick up their drink bottle and have a sip if they want without being yelled at.
Mm.
So it's such a contrast. And I'm like, where do I fit in here?
Mm.
And I think that's why I'm enjoying relief, because for that one day, I can go into that classroom and I can just do what I want.
Mm.
And I can, and I don't have someone that has expectations of me to make sure they're achieving this. It's just like, watch our class for the day. And so it's a good opportunity just to have some fun and let them be kids.
With your relief teacher, have you noticed that there's a lot of work?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I had a teacher at one of the schools in the town nearby. She said to me, she asked me, she's in a reception class, and she said, can you have my class next week? And I said, I can't because I'm booked out. And she said, you are so rare. There are no primary relief teachers, especially up here in the Adelaide Hills. They just can't get any primary relief teachers. So she said,
why is that?
I don't know. Is it because people are realising that it's shit, that they don't want to be teachers because they're not actually doing the kids, they're not benefiting the kids? I don't know.
Well, the school that you mentioned earlier with the problems, there's obviously teachers there. Why don't they just leave?
Well, when I resigned, so I had the term there, and when I resigned, I said to them it was because working full-time as a teacher was just, it's too big a task for me. And I wasn't prepared to do it because I was crumbling in every sense. And one of the teachers said, well, what are you going to do for money? You know, do you need to work full time? And I was like, well, do I? I don't need to work full time. I'm lucky though, I don't have any debt. I don't have any expenses really, apart from your normal daily expenses. So I'm in a good position where I can do relief. And if I only get two jobs a week, I'm not bothered by that. But I think everyone's deader to the eyeballs these days.
Mm.
So they don't have the freedom to only work 2 days a week. Mm. So
do you think some of those other teachers felt the same way?
Oh gosh, yeah. And you could tell, like, so every day they're totally stuck. They're totally stuck. And I know that they would want to make the decision that I made, but they can't. And it's just sad because you see these teachers, they just look exhausted and crying every day. And I don't think you realise what it's like to be a teacher until you're a teacher. You know how people say, oh, teachers are always complaining. You know, they've got the hardest job in the world. It is fucking hard.
Mm.
It's the only job that I know of that you never stop working. So you plan the day. So the night before, you plan your day for the next day. And let's say you planned 6 things to do. Because of the behaviour in the classroom, you probably only tick off one of those things. And so you've just wasted all that time planning. Plus you're exhausted because all you're doing is just managing behaviour all day. And then you finish that day, then you have meetings, then you have to talk to parents, then you have to go home, and then you have to plan the next day. So it's, and I only get paid for 5.5 hours of that day. So that doesn't seem right to me.
Mm.
And next year I've been offered a contract at another school 2 days a week. I'm like, oh, that'd be all right. But still, even that is making me feel a bit sick because I know it's not going to be 2 days a week. It'll probably be 4 days a week that I'm only going to get paid for 2 days of.
Mm.
Because of all the planning and the meeting parents and the meetings with the other teachers. So yeah, I don't think people understand what a tough job it is. And I'm not saying other jobs aren't tough, but you have to hold the emotions of 30-odd kids. You have to hold the emotions of the parents. You have to make sure you're achieving everything the school wants you to achieve. You have to make sure the kids are achieving where they expect them to be. If kids are, you know, autism, ADHD, all of that extra stuff on top, it's just, like, I remember thinking, this is never ending. My mind can never shut off now. And I like to shut off. I like to have my time where I rest and do nothing. And it's important for me to do that. And being a full-time teacher, I would not be able to do that. So I do take my hat off to full-time teachers.
There's so much pressure on everyone from everywhere.
Yep, at all times.
But does it look like the kids are having fun?
They look like they're having fun at recess and lunch when they're out playing. Or if we've got like a free play lesson, they look like they're having fun. But for the most part, no. But they're just so, like, I'm talking about the year fives at this school. I've got a contract at next year. It's just, they just expect it now. They expect that every day they're just going to be sitting in front of a laptop and they can't hold their pencil without being yelled at. That's just what, that's just how it is. So it's...
Why is there so much pressure on little kids?
I don't know, but it needs to be taken away because we're not... I was listening to a podcast just yesterday and he was saying that we think of education as separate from our kids and that we need to bring them to school and we need to give them this education and we need to put pressure on them to accept that education, whereas education is already in them and we need to be coaches and mentors to bring that education out of them. Like, let them identify what's important for them and support and encourage that to come out. That's how I think of it. Because why do we want every kid in that class doing all the same things, achieving at the same level? They're all going to be the same person when they finish school. That's not what this world needs.
Well, and also every child has a different way of learning.
Exactly.
Do you cater for that?
Well, we're meant to. It's called differentiation. And so you're meant to. You're meant to plan for all the different levels. But that, again...
How do you do that if you've got 30?
See, and that's the other thing that's difficult. And then so you plan six things for the day and those six things you've differentiated. So you've got different levels of it. And then you get to the, get to class and the kids are being little shits and you can't teach any of it. So we're really not teachers. Unless you've got a class that you've had. Some classes I go in, I will admit, are beautiful. They listen, they're kind, they're respectful, but it's very rare. There's been two classes I've been into that I've thought, you know what, I would love to teach in here.
What do you put that down to?
They don't have any kids with learning difficulties. So there's no autism. There's no ADHD.
Does that take up a lot of time?
Oh, God, yeah. All your time, if you've got a child in the class like that, which most classes do, and more than one, that's where your time goes, not to the other 22, 3-odd kids.
Even if you've got an SSO?
I think SSOs are very handy because they are an extra support, but it's just a babysitter, really. We just want them... Yeah, they're just babysitting. So it's not necessarily helping you teach them or helping you tick off that concept. They're just making sure they stay in their seat or don't throw that. That's what they're helping with, which they are valuable, don't get me wrong. They certainly don't get paid enough either, SSOs.
Do you think that there's not enough parents participating?
Yeah, I think I'm not a parent, so I don't know what it's like to have a child, but I think parents think they rock up to school, I'm free now, or I've got to go off and do my job. You handle the kids, and they put so much pressure on the teacher. It's like, well, why isn't my child learning this concept? And it's like, well, what are you doing at home to help your child learn that? I've got 30 kids in this class I'm trying to teach. You need to take ownership of that. You need to be spending time at home.
But they're busy.
Well, that's the thing. And like we were talking about earlier with the whole childcare thing. And I mean, I don't want to judge anyone. I know people have busy lives and there are things going on, but why are you having children if you have to put your kid in childcare 5 days a week? That's the question I have.
Well, generally it comes down to the fact that you either both want to have careers, which are important to you, or you got a lot of debt.
Yeah. Probably the debt one's probably the... It's probably the majority, I would say, because isn't everyone in debt?
Especially at the moment.
Well, I said to Sam, because he's just bought a car and it wasn't cheap, And I said, but do you know what? And he said he was feeling sick about how much money he spent. But I said, but do you know what? How good that we've paid for that. We haven't got a loan on that.
Mm.
We don't owe anyone any money on it. It's ours.
Mm.
And if one day we need some extra cash, we can sell it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I just think you got to work hard. And that's something I've learned over the years because I was in severe debt for many years. So you learn these lessons over time. But, yeah, I'm certainly coming to think what is going on and do I want to be a part of this. I've already said to Sam, when we have children, absolutely we'll be homeschooling. There's really? not one part of me that thinks I'll be sending my kids to school.
Wow.
Yeah. No way. No way. My kid will just get lost. And that's how I think of my nephew going to school next year. He's just going to be lost in the system. He'll be expected to be like everyone else. And even though there will be good things, you know, like interacting with other kids. Kids do thrive on having rules and responsibilities. They love that. So learning all of that and learning the boundaries will be good for him. But for the most part, he'll just be lost, I think, which makes me sad. Makes me want to start my own homeschooling business or something now so I can have him there, which is certainly something. It's
becoming more and more popular, especially during the COVID with, you know, kids not at school.
Yeah.
They might as well have been homeschooled.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they were for a bit. Oh, I mean, teachers were planning and sending things through. But the demand for homeschooling, like you look on Facebook and there's so many groups, especially up here in the Adelaide Hills, so many homeschooling groups, which I love. And it's such a community. That's what we need. Like we're sending our kids to school to be prepared for this real world. But is anyone actually happy in this real world? Like, are they actually happy driving 45 minutes in traffic to work in this real world? What we should do is this is my opinion, we should be homeschooling our kids to prepare them for a new world with different things going on. That's what I think.
Mm.
And I think that'd be the power of homeschooling. Because really, the kids are our future. So it makes me a bit worried actually about our future when I look at the classrooms.
Wow.
And I know your wife, Ellie, she thinks the same. We've talked about it before.
Mm.
She's worried for our future.
Mm.
It's scary.
Yeah, well, in a few short years, you've got a large majority of them that have got their own EpiPens or asthma puffers or certain sort of medication.
Mm. Yep.
And, that's a whole another topic, isn't it?
And that frustrates me too. And I've talked to teachers, older teachers, and I've said, has the amount of kids in your class with autism increased or all these other extra learning difficulties or needs? And they've said, absolutely. And it's skyrocketing. It's not just increasing slowly. It is, like, I had 29 kids in my class in term three. 17 of them were on the spectrum. 17.
Like, and were crazy. They, or was that just what you were told?
Some of the kids, I don't think they were. I think they were just different and quirky. And their parents think, they're different and quirky. We better get them tested. But a lot of them were. That school I was at was known as the caring school. So that's where parents would send their kids because they want them to be cared for. So, yeah, it's... Really? And that just makes your job as a teacher so fucking hard. Like, how are you meant to teach the kids that are ready to learn at that level when you've got most of the class not ready to learn, not at that level? It's almost impossible. And it's stressful.
And then add to that children that when you look at them, you don't know if they're male or female.
Yeah. Well, I had a cat in my class on Friday.
Did you?
I was doing the role and I said, I'll say her name, Lily. You don't know her last name. I said, Lily, and she answered, rrr, rrr. I said, what was that? And she did it again. And I said, I'm not actually going to answer you until you talk like a human. And then so I didn't tick her off. I did the rest of the class and I came back and I said, so Lily, are you here today? And she said, yes. I said, oh, welcome. Good morning. And I ticked her off. And I made it, you know, I was so happy that she was there and that she spoke like a fucking human. But I was like, are other teachers accepting that? Like, is that normal?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Like, that's just, I'm not. No way. And then, because I met my class for next year. So I've got year threes. So I met them, which was really beautiful. And they're gorgeous little kids. But one of the kids got dropped off by his mum/dad. It was a man dressed as a woman. She had, you know, long nails, the thin long hair, sweating over her makeup, but like a really deep voice. And I just thought, what is going on? what? And the kid, I spoke to him, he was not right. I don't know what was wrong, or whether he's been diagnosed with anything, or whether he's just been brought up by a mum that's a man. Like, what damage is this doing? So there's so much going on in the world that's just affecting our little kids that they shouldn't even know about.
That's right. Leave them alone and let them be children.
Gender shouldn't even be discussed.
No.
Like, if you want to pretend to be a cat, I've pretended to be animals before when I was younger, but I didn't identify as it and I didn't expect people to call me that. Mm. We shouldn't even be talking about it. But I had to do, at uni, I had to write an assignment on gender and why it's important to talk about it in the class. And to pass that topic, I had to talk about why it was important. So I was writing this essay, like, hitting the keyboard so hard because I was so angry. I'm like, I can't get my degree unless I agree with this. So, obviously, once I pass, I don't give a shit about that. And there's no way I'll be talking about that in my classrooms.
Mm.
But it does concern me being at a public school next year. Is that going to be something that'll be pushed?
So yeah, we'll see. Why is it being pushed?
I don't know.
Like, forever there's been children that have, you know, they're clearly male or female, a bit depending on chromosomes, but they're maybe geared towards one way or the other.
Mm.
Might be a boy that's a bit effeminate or a girl that's masculine.
Yeah.
You know, tomboy, that would have been cool.
Mm.
And why not just leave it at that and let the child decide when they're an adult what they want to do? Mm. This idea of giving them drugs to stop puberty is insanity.
It's absolutely criminal. But surely one day these people are... Like, surely something's going to happen to these people one day.
Well, it'll be too late because...
Yeah.
You can't not go... You won't go through puberty if you have these drugs.
Mm. And I agree, it'll be too late for those kids, but I think that's why it's important to... For all the other kids, let's make sure they've got a good upbringing and a good childhood and good role models because that's what we're going to need to counter all this shit that's happening.
So how do you combat that in the class when you look down and you go, what? All right, guys, you can't say that.
I don't care. I say it. I say girls and boys. I'll say if there's a group of boys at the back, I'll be like, boys, stop talking. It's enough. Like, I'll say it and I don't care.
What sort of terms do the other teachers use?
Well, that's the thing. You don't see what other teachers do because you're not in classes with other teachers, so you don't really know. But I know that at uni I was taught that you have to mention to the boys, like you have to put into their minds, are you feeling feminine today? It's okay to feel feminine.
No way.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to come to school tomorrow with a skirt on, that's okay. Like, we're taught to be proactive about it, not wait for them to come to us. Like, we have to be onto it and planting it. It's like, no.
So this is driven from the university.
Yeah.
It's even beyond the principal of the school.
Yeah. But then, you know, you have agendas in schools too. Like that school I was at, they definitely had an agenda. Like their child, one of their children there was a they, them. And they wore him or she, her badges. You know, like, why do we need that? If you're a woman, I fucking know you're a she or a her. That's what just drives me mental. Do you get so angry when you look at Instagram pages in their bio, it's like a girl and she's got she, her? So obviously you're a she-her.
I've recently gotten off Instagram.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's just full of mindless drivel, really.
Yeah, it is.
And it mixed sucks. In with some really funny stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just too much.
Mm. And it sucks time from me. Too time-consuming. Mm.
The only thing that I'm on at the moment barely is Twitter.
Yeah, okay.
Or X.
Yeah. Oh, X. I don't know what that is.
That's what Twitter's called.
Oh.
X.
Oh, okay.
Since Elon Musk
bought it. Yeah, right.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I've listened to Joe Rogan's podcast with him the other day, and he's a fascinating man.
Mm.
He's very... You do wonder what would go through his mind.
Mm, yeah.
But I think he's making some good moves.
Well, how would you know?
Well, that's the thing. You just wouldn't know.
How would you know?
I trust, though. And I've had faith this whole time since COVID. And even seeing now what goes on in the classroom, I've got faith that things will be okay. Because I think...
It's a phase?
Yeah. It's just a long fucking phase. But people are waking up. Like, it just goes to show when you look on Facebook and how many homeschooling groups there are.
Mm.
Like, was it like that 10 years ago? I don't know.
Mm.
But things are happening.
Do you ever get a chance to talk to parents about any of this stuff?
Not allowed to, really. When I was at the school in term 3, emails that I would write to parents it would have to go through leadership first, and then they'd send it on to the parents. And
would every they alter
time,
your email?
Yeah, every time. And not just a few words, like very altered. So I'm not, that email's not from me anymore.
Wow.
And when I had my parent-teacher interview, all the parents came in and I was just talking to them. Leadership had to be there. They wouldn't let me do it by myself. And I thought, it's probably because you're worried about what I'm going to say. Because if they weren't there...
Day one teacher and she's already a rebel.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't care. Like, I do wonder...
Are you worried about anything you've said on this?
Well, no.
I mean, you haven't named any names, but...
No, I don't really care. At the end of the day, if I lose... If I lose my teacher registration because I'm speaking this, I don't care.
You'd rather not be a teacher?
I'd rather start my own homeschool.
It's not dissimilar to a nurse that's too afraid to speak up about the dangers of a vaccine.
I think this is what the world needs, people to be speaking about it. Because it's so easy to just put your opinion onto the majority's opinion and just go with that.
Put your opinion on hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, self-censor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who said this quote? I can't remember who said it, but it was, intelligence isn't rare, bravery is rare.
Mm.
So anyone could be intelligent, but not everyone's brave.
Mm.
So I would rather be brave.
So true, yeah.
Than know everything.
Mm.
I think that's what's going to change the world.
Mm.
And you would probably agree with that.
Mm.
But you know what I found out yesterday? You know, like the tests we use in schools and how we test our kids on... their achievements. All those tests are created by private companies and it is a multi-billion dollar industry. Isn't that fascinating?
Wow. Mm.
So all this data we're collecting from the kids, it's going to these private companies that are making billions of dollars, and yet nothing comes back to these kids on how, from those results, what can we do to help them? It's one way. So we collect all this data, we send it off.
One way as in indoctrination.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah. And
preparing them for uni, which is more indoctrination, and you can't really get a job unless you've been to uni now.
And you can't get your degree unless you think what they want you to think, like the whole gender thing. You know, I wouldn't have got my degree if I said, well, no, I disagree with that. So, very fascinating. I was shocked by that. And they also said that more time is spent on what we can add, what nutrition we can add in dog food, than there is on how we can make our tests better for children. So that's fascinating as well. This is our future. And yet we're just making money off
it. And like from day one, we're putting them under stress.
Well, I did my first placement out of kindergarten and I thought, oh, this would be so easy because it's just play. It's just free play. It wasn't. They were collecting data. Like every meeting it was, how much data can we collect? What kind of data is it? We have to send it off to the department. You know, like these are kindy kids. These are 3, 4, 5 year olds. Why are we collecting data on them? Just fucking let them be.
Let them be kids.
Just let them learn. Just let them learn naturally. How are they going to learn?
What do you think a parent could do if they were to become aware of any of this info?
Well, if it was me, I'd take my kids out of school. But if you don't want to be that drastic, I would just be making more contact with the teacher and the classroom. Maybe even asking to be a part of it. You know, asking if... Because to be an SSO, you don't need any training. So anyone could be an SSO, maybe even ask to help out, and just so you can see what's actually going on in there. And I think that if more parents did that and they actually cared, they would probably, you know, maybe like Olivia, my sister, she doesn't want to send Audrey to school every day. Maybe it's, okay, we're only going to go 3 days and the other two are going to stay home and do stuff. Maybe it's like that. But I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
Part-time homeschooling.
Yeah.
Could be an
option. Maybe that's a way to go.
I know there's lots of parents in America talking up and they're having, you know, problematic school boards removed.
Yeah, okay.
And new school boards being put in because the parents have gotten together and said, enough's enough and we don't accept this type of way.
Oh, yeah, that as well, coming to getting parents together. And I think at that school I was at, I've heard there's a big group of parents that are not happy with what's going on. So hopefully they're going to make some changes there.
That's encouraging.
But the leadership that's at that school now, they've just come from another school where they were kicked out by the school board, by the teachers' board, because they weren't happy with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have, like, parents do have a lot of power.
The sad thing is, like, I've been a parent with kids at school, and I, apart from some days where the parents would be invited to watch a play or something, I had no idea what they were being taught.
Well, that's the thing. Parents don't know. You hand them off to your teachers and you don't know what's going on in that classroom.
Mm.
Like the other day, when I called you on Friday, they do a thing called BTN, Behind the News. Apparently this has been going for years and years and years, and because Sam, he remembers doing it at school, but I don't remember ever doing it at school. But every week the kids watch, I think it's like a 10-minute video of what's happening around the world, like news-wise, whether it's true or not. And then at the end of that video, they get quizzed on it. Anyway, on Friday, they had a 25-minute video, and it was the whole year, like a recap of the whole year. And then they had a 20-question quiz afterwards.
So who asks the quiz?
So it's Behind the News, it's a business. Like, it's a company that organise this, and they do the questions as well.
Oh, so they read out the questions over the video.
Yeah, so they put the... I don't know how you access it, whether it's on YouTube or whatever, but you watch the video, and then the quiz questions are on a program called Kahoot. Which is, have you heard of that? It's like a program that they use in school for quizzes, and everyone can log on and you see the scoreboard. And so that you do that, so BTN are in charge of the questions. And the first question was, how many criminal charges does Donald Trump have against him? And they all knew the answer straight away, because you can see when the answers come up on the board. And I thought, firstly, why are we worrying year threes in Australia
about that
Donald Trump in America? Why does that even matter? How is that going to affect them?
They would have been better off to ask how many flights Anthony Albanese's been on.
Well, why not? That'd be more relevant.
More topical.
Yeah. Like, it's absurd. And then they talked about the Clintons and what good they've done for the American people. And I'm like, what? Why?
Is this an American program?
No.
Australian program.
Australian program. And then they talked about the yes and no vote and how, you know, they're talking about a grieving week for the people that voted no. And it's just like, and you can hear all the kids. That voted yes, sorry.
Yeah.
And you can hear all the kids in the class, like, you listen and they're like, yeah, yeah. Like just, you can tell they're so against. Year threes. Like, we're teaching them you need to be against people that voted no. But we're all about inclusivity and not being.
Wow. That's frightening.
So it's like watching that. Like, I left that day and I could have cried. Like, I was sitting in the classroom, my blood was boiling because I thought, these kids aren't even being told the truth. We're lying to them. Our job is to teach them, and we are lying to them. Flat out. Like, not even, it's not even like, oh, that could be true. It's like, no, that's not true.
Is there an opportunity as a teacher to say, all right, we've just watched Behind the News, but there's two sides to stories. And that you could maybe do some research, or I don't know.
Well, I would, and I wanted to that day. I remember speaking to you, but then that was the end of the day, and then the end of the day was hectic, cleaning up and everything, and I just didn't have time. But I did want to mention to them that maybe that wasn't true, and maybe you should investigate. But yeah, I would, as a teacher. I don't know how well that would go down, because if you're questioning...
Well, given that at the moment they're desperate for teachers... You'd be hard-pressed to get removed as a teacher.
Well, that's the thing.
You're just going to have to accept being warned.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not blowing my own horn, but I get awesome feedback from every school I go to, awesome feedback from every class I've been in. They all want me to come back. So I know I'm doing a good job. So, yeah, maybe if I'm that rare, I can do
well. Well, it's probably because you did a degree as an adult.
Yeah.
As opposed to straight out of year 12.
Yeah.
And you've walked in the door with... You know, life's lessons under your belt, as opposed to still being a kid.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it makes a big difference the way you confidently portray yourself.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't have been able to finish that degree if I did it after school.
No, you wouldn't.
No way. No way. Not a chance. There was moments where I didn't even think I could finish it.
This is where I think, you know, going straight from year 12 to a degree, there's an element of insanity there because you haven't even lived.
Well, that's the other thing on this podcast I was listening to. You know, we look down or it's shamed upon a little bit if you have a gap year from school. It's like, what? These kids should go out and experience life. Yeah. I think life experience and life skills is what's going to get you further in life than knowing all these concepts, these mathematical concepts and stuff, isn't it? Like, if you can talk, if you can talk to someone and engage with someone and listen, that's going to get you the job.
Yeah.
Not what you can, equations you can answer. Like, that's what's going to get you places. So it's, yeah, I agree completely. Because I wasn't very good at school. I don't even remember doing any schoolwork. I don't remember doing any homework. I remember the teachers asked me to, you know, share what I'd done in class, and I never did anything in class. But I also didn't finish year 12. Well, I did go when I was 22, I finished it, but I didn't get my SACE. So technically I shouldn't have gone to uni, but there are ways around it.
Mm.
So, but it does make me sick that I went to uni, because I think I was just part of the, you know, indoctrination, and now I owe them lots of money.
Yeah.
but they've also given me a ticket to...
make a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you will, I reckon.
Yeah, I've got... and that's how I like to think of it. I've got potential to influence, positively influence.
I'm sure there's lives. Schools out there where there's principles that I've got the right attitude towards what needs to happen.
Mm.
And you'll probably be able to pick up on the vibe at the school.
Yeah.
That this is a wholesome school and there must be a strong leader.
Mm. The leadership's so important. I never realised. I always just thought a principal was a principal. Like, you know, they didn't really do much, but so important.
Mm.
And it changes the way the whole school runs. And that's why I really like this school I was at, even though they're very strict, and because the leadership are beautiful people.
Mm.
And they care about the teachers. Mm. I want the teachers to be happy and healthy, because without the teachers, that school ain't going to run.
We used to think the principal of the school was just the guy that gave us the strap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that who did give you the strap?
If the teacher that was giving you the strap couldn't affect change, then you'd go to the principal for an even harder strap.
Wow.
Mm.
Can't imagine that now. Times have
go
changed.
Go home. How was your day? Oh, good. You never tell your mum.
Oh, really? Because you get in trouble again?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. When did that stop?
Don't know. But, yeah. You know, like you don't want your kids getting strapped by some, you know, maniac that loves dishing out punishment to a kid. But, you know, we've taken it to the other extreme where there is no discipline.
Yeah, which I think we're just letting our kids down with that.
And, you know, we've gone down this road where discipline equals trauma, and trauma equals, oh, my kid's going to self-harm.
Mm.
So I've got to wrap them in cotton wool for the rest of their life.
Which I think is just totally wrong.
Mm.
Hard love is good love. Like, do you think you're traumatized from that? I do wonder.
No.
No?
No.
Do you think majority of the people you went to school with would be traumatized from that?
No, they're all bamboozled by this whole concept of trauma.
Yeah, okay. Because it's
life and it's what happens.
Yeah.
And you probably deserved it. You were probably a little shit that was mucking around. Like, I didn't care about school. I hated it.
Did you learn a lesson? Did it help you learn that maybe you shouldn't have done what you did?
It learned how it enabled me to think of a different way to get about doing nothing.
Well, in a way, that did teach you something then. Yeah. And I guess that's what you need to learn from. Well, that's what we need to do in life.
But some of them were sadists.
Yeah, okay.
They loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
I never had the strap off a female teacher.
Yeah, okay.
Never.
It's just a male thing.
Mm.
Yeah. They like the power. Mm. I do, like, wonder, because I remember having my pretend classroom, and I don't know why I wanted to be a teacher so bad. I just loved my teacher. Remember Miss Lenahan, year 5? I think that's when I really, really wanted to be a teacher. And I don't know what it was. She used to stand at the front of class and pretend she was on a surfboard. She used to go like this. Be like, what's the answer? And she was just real quirky and cool, and I remember thinking, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to be at the front of the class being weird. But I don't know, is it the authority that I wanted? I don't know. So maybe do teachers become teachers because they like that authority? I don't know. I don't know whether that was what I wanted. But I do. I don't get a kick out of telling kids off, but if there's a little shit in the class, I feel more than fine to let him know that he's been a little shit.
So how would you do it?
I don't like to get angry or raise my voice, but I think when I do, kids know I'm serious. So I'll just be very stern. I'll just flat out say, you're being very rude and very disrespectful, and I don't want that in this classroom. And I'll just stare at them, and it makes them feel very uncomfortable. And then they'll be like, they won't do it. But you are. You're being rude. You're being disrespectful. I don't like it.
Mm.
But I also, you know...
Surely there's a bunch of kids in the class that don't muck around.
Oh, gotcha. And there's
2 or 3 or 5 that are. What are the other kids thinking or behaving like when these kids are being disruptive? Are they telling them to be quiet?
Sometimes you go, shut up. And I say to those kids that yell out, shut up, I'm like, thank you.
Mm.
This person here is telling you that they don't appreciate what you're doing.
Mm.
I don't like that language, but thank you. But yeah, I feel sorry for them. Like in last term when I had that class, like you look around the room and they look sad. They're sitting there with their hands like their hand holding their chin, looking sad because they have to sit there and wait for these other kids who are just being absolute nutcases. And so my heart breaks for them because they do want to learn, because they are interested. They want to know what you have to say, but they can't because I'm busy with these bloody kids.
Mm.
So that's where my time goes.
I'm pretty sure when I was at school, they had different classes for smart kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I wasn't in one.
Yeah, okay. They do sort of... I remember at high school, they had, like, you know, different maths levels. But I also think, and this... I don't know what people will think of this when I say this, but, you know, children with severe learning needs, like severe autism. For example, this class I was at, there was a girl in the class. She was working at a year two level. Just year two. Yeah, she was in year five. And she was holding the whole class back. And I was differentiating. I was giving other things to do. But why was she in that class?
Mm.
She's not at the level of year five. She should be taken from that class and put into a class with kids that are at the same level, that can do what she can do.
Mm.
And maybe that's having a division there. But I don't think it's a division. I think it's supporting all of them.
Mm.
That's supporting her because she's with kids that are going to...
At her level.
At her level. And that's supporting the other kids that can work at a higher level.
Mm.
So it's not dividing, it's helping.
Mm.
But we're all about being inclusive, and so it's tricky.
The whole thing's a minefield, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, I know, like my desire is to be a mum. I'm not career driven, that's not what I want. So I'm not bothered that it is the way it is, because I will have a homeschool one day and my kids will be homeschooled, and my experience from school will help me with that. And if ever I need extra cash, I can just do relief work. So really, I'm in a good position. And then it's only 6 hours a day. You just switch off for those 6 hours, do what you need to do and go home.
Like babysit. Mm.
Yeah. So it'll be funny because Sam will have a dingo job and he'll spend the whole day on his dingo and he's knackered. And I've just been sitting in a classroom all day, but I'm knackered as well. But it's such a different...
Mental.
Yeah. It's just so draining, and I haven't had kids, so I don't know what it'd be like to have kids, but watching 30 kids all day is a lot.
Was it today you posted that video on Instagram?
Which one?
Of the...
Oh, I actually wanted to ask you if we could play it, but it's quite long. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I could put a link to it.
Do that. It's so powerful, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I watched that yesterday, and I was just like...
Pertinent to the conversation, truth. But there's some parts of it that are like... explainable. But generally speaking, what was the gist of it?
What is school for? Truly though, like, what we actually...
That was his question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
What is school for? I think you could just leave it at that, because we could all ask ourselves, what is school for? What do you want school to do? I think that's what parents should be asking. What do you want that school to do for your child? Do you want that school to make them like every other kid? And it's going to grow up into this real world and maybe have a shit job? Or do you want your child to be who they are and be really fucking good at it? That's what I want.
Mm.
And to have all these other life skills that if shit hit the fan, they could do that. And I think I feel lucky because Sam can do so much with his hands.
Well, it's a skill that's lost.
It is. And it's like that South Park episode. Did you watch that one? Where the handymen...
Yeah.
Were the most rich and famous because they could do everything.
Mm.
Yet doctors and accountants and no one wanted them.
No.
Because, yeah.
No, it's a skill that's lost, and people don't fix things or make things anymore.
Mm.
And it's so needed and it'll become more so.
Mm.
I feel really sorry for people that can't put a hot nail into butter.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know how.
Yeah, I do too. I feel privileged that I have Sam and can learn from him. But you as well. Like, you...
Speaking of learning from Sam, just to go off topic a little bit, I noticed then while you're coughing, you're holding your ribs.
Yeah.
Sam taught you how to ride a motorbike, did he?
Yeah, he bought me a motorbike. He was more excited about it than I was. Oh, you might have to scrap that off the podcast. I don't want him to know I wasn't excited. No, I was excited. I took him for a first ride the other day. Front wheel went into a ditch. Smashed straight into the ground, and now I've not broken my ribs, thankfully, but I've sprained my muscles and my joints and my bones, bruised my bones, so now it hurts to cough.
When I saw the picture of the bike, I said to Ellie, stand by.
Yeah.
Stand by for injury.
But do you know what? At the same time, even though I'm injured and I had to have a bit of time off work, and I'm in a bit of pain now. It was fun.
Mm.
And I wasn't just sitting at home doing nothing. I got out and I tried something new, and it is fun. Like, motorbike riding is fun. Mm. You just have to be really careful.
Mm.
I think you get your confidence builds too quickly.
Did it?
On those things. Oh, God, yeah. I went around a couple of times, and each time I got faster and faster, and I was like, oh, I'm going to faint. And I said, right, I'll go around one more time, which I've learned that you don't say that.
Mm.
Don't ever say that. Yeah. But I thought, I'll go around one more time, and I pinned it, as Sam would say. And, didn't end well. But I didn't crash. Like, as I was coming around the bend, I went slower.
Sounds like your front wheel washed out, and you just slid off the side.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, just straight into the ground, hit my head very hard.
Mm.
So good thing I had a helmet on.
Yeah.
But that's the second bike crash that's given me an injury. Broke my collarbone coming off a BMX. So I think, I don't know if I mix with bikes.
You're an action woman.
Maybe. But I do like, and I tell the kids that as well. Like yesterday I had to introduce myself to these kids and I said, you know, I've done freediving, scuba dive, I ride motorbikes. And they were just so fascinated, whereas the other teachers were just like, I've got two dogs and I drink coffee and I go for a walk at night. I thought, well, that's fair enough. But these kids want to be excited.
Mm.
So I was like, did you know that I've sat at the bottom of the ocean for 2.5 minutes? And they were like, what? And they were all looking at each other like, what? I was like, yeah, I've free dived. And I said, does anyone know what freediving is? And a couple of them put their hand up and answered. I was like, see, I've got them.
Mm.
I've engaged them. It's not just, I'm Miss Burns and I drink coffee.
Mm.
Like I want to excite these kids. I want to inspire their minds and then they can do the rest.
Mm.
That's my goal. So we'll see.
It sounds like it's going to be hard.
Yeah. But I don't think I've got much, hopefully, not much more time until I have kids of my own, and then I can just focus on that. But I feel I just want to raise my kids well, do right by them, and just give them.
No matter what you do, you'll stuff it up.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Because every parent does, because no parent knows what they're doing.
No. I do like, because I watch Liv and I watch Maddie, and I've seen how you and Mum have done it. And so I've got people around me that I can watch. But obviously, I'll have my own way. But yeah, I'm sure I'll stuff it up.
Mm.
I'm sure I'll have times of like, what the fuck? And I'll be calling you for help. That's when you'll have to step in.
Again.
Yeah.
What's the best thing that you've discovered about teaching?
That kids are so amazing and resilient. And they teach me more than I teach them.
Mm. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
And I tell them that. I don't know exactly, but every day I learn something new. Like a kid in there will know something that I don't know and they'll tell me. It'll be something they're interested in, like whether it's about a dinosaur or a spaceship or something. I'm learning something new every day. But I think we just need to look through the eyes of children sometimes and be a bit more imaginative and creative and not be so just stuck in the reality of the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Just kids are resilient and they can do lots of things and we need to have more faith in them that they can do it, I think.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, just let them be.
Mm.
And just what's the word? Nurture what they've already got.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rehash of the entire system.
Mm. Mm. I do wonder if other teachers out there are thinking like me, but I reckon they are, considering there's not many of us still doing it. So maybe they're like, yes, I don't want to be a part of this.
Mm. Maybe that's why there's so many gaps and the casuals are so sought after.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
One thing I never understood was, you've had my kid for 8 hours, why are you now giving him homework?
Mm. Yeah. Now, most schools I go to don't do homework, which is a good thing, because why do you need to? You're at school all day for that. You should be going home and just being a kid.
Yeah, surely you've had enough time to teach them what you need to teach them.
Yeah.
Let them go home and play on the playground.
Mm. Yeah, which I agree with. Yeah, shouldn't be doing homework. But yeah, most schools don't do homework that I've been to. Only one. That school I was at last term. Just that one.
Mm. So what year is that up till that they don't give homework?
Primary. So year six.
Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming they'd have homework at high school. Mm. That's something I wouldn't want to teach high school.
That would be hard, wouldn't it?
It would be hard. Just the attitude.
Teaching teenagers.
Yeah, the attitude. Apparently it's horrific, though. Like, these days, high school is horrific because they haven't learnt how to be respectful and boundaries in primary school, and that just carries through to high school. Tough gig.
Tough. Do any of your kids have mobile phones?
Yes, and they hand them in at the start of the day. They go into the teacher's drawer. But yeah, most of them, depending what year, like year threes and twos wouldn't, but most of the fives and sixes do, which I wonder. And they're on their laptops all day at these public schools.
What, their own personal laptop?
No, so they all have a laptop at school or an iPad.
All schools do?
All the public schools, yep. And so most of the lessons are on them. So the teacher will say, you know, do mathematics, and that'll be a lesson, and it's all programmed online. So the teacher has got nothing to do with it. It's just a program.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't even get to see the answers?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure you could log on. I'm sure teachers have access to log on and see what they're doing, but it's a program not by the school. It's a it's a program that all schools do. Yeah. So, yeah. And I remember at uni as well talking about technology and how it's so important to have in the classroom, and kids need to be on computers and iPads and things. And I just, that doesn't make sense to me, because Audrey and Oscar, they know how to use a phone. They know how to open it up and make a phone call. And yet they've had no lessons in that. Kids pick things up. They're very smart. They don't need lessons how to use a laptop. They're going to understand it. So why do we have to have them sitting in front of a computer all day, every day? I don't understand. But then you can go into, you know, the blue light, how that's affecting them, nutrition. Like at the school I'm going to be at next year, they've told me I can't talk about the kids' food. I can't ask to see, like if a kid hasn't eaten, I can't ask to see his lunchbox or ask about his food because of eating disorders.
Wow.
But I thought I have a duty of care to make sure these kids are eating, because nutrition is important. But no, I can't. I can't ask. So that makes me wonder as well. You think that's weird?
Yeah.
But then I asked another school about that, and they said no, they would be asking to see the lunchbox. So I guess it just depends on the leadership.
So is that kind of thing driven, yeah, like from the leadership point of view?
Things like that must be a leadership thing if it's different at schools.
Wow.
Which kind of, yeah. Because as we know, nutrition's going to help them. But what I'm learning, like just doing research, kids shouldn't be at school at 9 o'clock in the morning. They should be starting at 10 or 11. Mm. They should be sleeping in. I think we've talked about this before.
Well, the teenager is not designed to be up early.
Mm.
And every parent of the world is guilty of saying, get out of bed, you're being lazy. Mm. But actually they're not being lazy. That's how they're designed.
Mm.
Their circadian rhythm is different.
Yeah, okay.
As a child and teenager.
Yeah.
And they're wired to be staying up late and sleeping in.
Mm.
And there are schools in America which are starting them later in the morning.
Yeah, okay. I think that would be a great idea. I think at least if they don't start later, spend the morning outside just doing, have a game, go for a walk. Don't get straight into learning, because they're not ready. Like, they're not ready. You see them come in.
No.
They're not at all, and it makes you angry because they're not ready. And then that makes the whole day not go well. So it's just... So when I had the class last term, every morning we would go for a walk. That would be the first thing we do. Obviously, I'd do the roll, and then we'd go for a walk, and then we'd play a game all together, and then we'd go back into the classroom, and then we'd just have a chat, and then we'd get into our main lesson. And I think those days were much better, because some days we probably had to jump into learning straight away, depending what was on. But yeah, you notice the difference in the outcomes.
How good.
But I was listening to another podcast as well about awe moments. Have you heard about awe moments? So like an awe moment, for example, if I'm sitting here, I'm just looking out at that gum tree, and it makes me feel good because I can see all the birds, and it's like a little ecosystem for the birds. And that's an awe moment, because it's a moment where I'm like...
Like a sunset.
Yeah, like something beautiful. You're like, and research and studies have shown that it extends your life. It helps with your outcomes for the day. The more awe moments you have, the more motivated you're going to be, and the more output you'll have. So that's why start your class on a walk. Spot birds. Look at the ladybug that's on the ground, or the lichen or the moss growing on the trees or something. You know, those moments, and spend some time on that.
Mm.
Because... That's actually
gonna maybe happen. That shouldn't just be reserved for kids.
No, definitely not. Like Sam and I go for a walk, and I'll just stop and just look at a beautiful flower, and just for a few seconds. Makes you feel good. Why wouldn't you?
Mm.
But we're so quick these days. We miss all this stuff.
We're busy.
Yeah, we miss it all. I remember taking Audrey for a walk when she was 2, maybe. And there was a, on the side of the road, like on the sidewalk, there was heaps of flowers, like a big garden bed. And I swear she stopped and smelled every single flower. And it took ages, and we were going to a cafe, and I was like, we're going to be late, and I was getting a bit frustrated. But how beautiful that she stopped, and she smelled every single one. Why not?
And she'd be the kind of girl that would still be doing that as an adult.
Mm. But that awe, those awe moments there for her, it's going to extend her life. So it just makes me question everything we've ever known, literally everything they've taught us, and everything they've taught us how to be healthy and happy. It's all wrong. All wrong. It's opposite, really.
Well, it's the constant need for things.
Mm.
And we're, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't like the Instagram is because you're the ads.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to be advertised to. That's why I don't watch telly.
Mm. Mm.
And, you know, stop advertising. Stop listening to me.
Mm.
Like Ailey says now, I just got advertised for such and such. And I said, oh, that's funny. I haven't because I'm not on there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
So it's easy to turn the ads off. Just get off it.
Yeah.
And then you don't get advertised to.
Gosh, I've thought so many times about deleting my Instagram, and I'd love to, but it's just such a... It's an addictive thing. It's like a drug. You got to break out of it, but it's hard.
Oh, I'm surprised. I've been off it for ages, and I occasionally get an email with some Instagram thing, and I just delete it.
Yeah, okay. You get an email about Instagram?
Yeah, someone might have posted something to my page or something.
Yeah, right, okay.
That's still there.
Yeah. Oh, but you're not logged in and you're not
deleted that. No, it still exists in
So I could still tag you in something.
Yeah, in the ether. Okay. Yeah, of course you could, but I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
So don't send me something because I'm not going to see it.
I wonder how different the world would be if we all got rid of it.
Well, we should maybe start by just saying Tuesdays, we're off it.
Mm.
You don't need it.
No.
There's nothing there.
I hate it.
You're not going to miss out on anything.
I get so angry, Dad, because it's such a habit to roll over in the morning and check it. And in that same second, I feel so angry that I've done that. But then I just, it's all right, Kath, put it down now.
Mm.
As soon as you're aware of it, just put it down. I try to.
I try to take, if I'm going out for breakfast, you might have noticed this morning I didn't have my phone.
Yeah, okay. I didn't notice, but yeah, right.
I try not to take it.
Yeah.
It's on airplane mode at night.
Yeah.
Almost never look at it in my bedroom.
Yeah.
That's just a bit of a discipline thing.
Yeah. It's good. So good. Do you feel better?
I don't feel as like I've got way more time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you did add up all the time you spent on it throughout the week, it'd be scary, wouldn't it? Because you could easily do that by looking at your screen time.
Mm.
How much time is wasted on that rubbish? Like, I would much rather sit out the back with my chickens and dogs for 2 hours and have done nothing other than watch the chickens then sit on my phone for 2 hours.
But these poor kids that you're teaching, they were born and the phones existed.
Mm.
So it's just a natural part of their life, like a car.
Mm.
It's just the thing that I need.
Mm.
And there's no way they're not going to be able to be addicted.
Mm. Yeah. So I've said to Sam before, that's the other thing I don't want. And it might be different when we actually have kids. You say all these things, but I almost want there to be a designated room. That's where electronics are.
Mm.
I don't want electronics. I don't want you checking your phone out here at the dinner table while the kids are running. I don't even want them to see it.
Mm.
Like, if you need to make a phone call, go into that room. That's your, like, you know, so just separate it from life.
Well, once upon a time, back in the dark ages, there was a phone in the hallway.
Yeah.
It was attached to the wall. It couldn't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And everyone heard your conversation.
Mm. I'm so glad I grew up just, you know, like we had a portable phone though. But there were no mobile phones really when we were young.
Mm.
So glad we got that. I feel sorry for kids now that growing up now.
Mm.
I missed out on it. But we can bring it back.
Well, how old's Audrey going to be? 7.
Yeah, far out.
She doesn't have a phone.
Mm.
She doesn't have a screen and she doesn't watch telly.
Mm. Mm.
And they probably say they're bored, but they don't know what bored is.
No, yeah, they don't know what bored is. No. And they can't be bored. They're always doing something, those girls.
Yeah.
If they stop for a sec. But, yeah.
Smelling the flowers.
It'd be, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We've fucked up. somehow.
Gotten a bit lost.
Gotten a bit lost. So we just got to be aware of it is the first thing.
Mm.
And then slowly make changes. It's a bit like, you know, coming up to maybe once soon having babies, and I want to be the best. I want to be the healthiest I can be. I want my body to be ready. I want my mind to be ready. But if I just straight up put all this pressure on myself to be perfect tomorrow, it's not going to happen. So just 1% better each day, isn't that what I say? 1%, and that's what we can do about the world, just each day, one thing better. And I think that's why this relief work, I'm in such a good position, because each day I can make even one little change in 30 minds.
Mm. All you need is one little spark for that day that you're there.
Yeah. And I talk about kindness a lot, and because I think kindness is the best thing on the planet. That's what's going to save the planet. So I talk about that a lot. Kindness, and you've got the choice, and I don't want unkind people in here, so that might be something, talking about that. I don't know, one bit at a time. I don't think there was anything else that I've sort of, nothing major that I wanted to mention really. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of podcasting lately just to find out what people are talking about in homeschooling and stuff, but it's definitely the way forward. I want to have a little ranch, a homestead. I've talked to Sam, I'm getting cows, I'm getting animals, and that's what my kids are going to be learning, how to milk a cow. And I'm going to learn with them.
How to change a tyre.
Yeah, how to make tomato relish with all the tomatoes that we're making. Like, I want to do a bit of, this might be a bit extreme, but I'm following people lately of, like, not like doomsday prepping, but not quite, like food storage. So making all heaps of stuff that you can store. And I'd like to do things like that. And I think that is an awesome thing to teach kids as well.
Well, the life skill things.
Yeah.
As opposed to Pythagoras that they'll probably never, ever use.
Yeah.
Ever.
Never. It was so funny because I don't even know my times table. I don't know all my times tables. And I say that to the kids too. Like, I say, do it, because they have so much pressure on them, especially when maths comes up. Like, it gives kids anxiety. Like, you can see in their eyes, there's tears. They don't want to do it. And I say, I don't know all my times tables, and I'm a teacher. You don't have to know all this stuff. That's another thing I say as well. I do not care if you don't finish something, and I do not care if you don't get the right answer. All I want is you to give it a go. It's all I want. And when you approach it like that, like, lots of kids need breaks now. Like, they can only do so much, and then they need a 5-minute break. So you get lots of kids sort of using that, and they're like, oh, can I go for a break now? And so I'll be like, that's totally fine. I want 5 minutes first. I want 5 minutes, give him a go, and then you can go outside and play basketball. And in that 5 minutes, they do so much because they're like, all right, I can do this. Like, 5 minutes, yeah. It's 5 minutes up. Yep, yeah, out you go. And they've nearly finished the task. So it just works if you approach it differently.
Maybe that's what the whole thing needs, just a different approach.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, anyway.
Dream on.
Yeah. Keep dreaming.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer, but it's a worry.
But there's more people thinking like us, Dad, and more people than we think, I think. So it should be right.
That's encouraging.
You've got to have the faith.
Well, until you've figured out there's a problem, you don't know. So once you've figured out there's a problem, you can start, like you say, one little bit each day.
Yeah.
Turn it around.
Just one little bit more that you can do. That's how I'm living at the moment. Because I'm out of the game. I haven't been to the gym in ages because my ribs, and I've just had the operation stuff. So I've been out of the game. But now I'm just trying to be more mentally focused at the moment. Like, what can I do that's going to help my brain rather than my muscles right now? And that's
you're in a good spot.
Yeah. I think so. Just want my ribs to feel good. It really puts you out. Have you had broken ribs before?
No. No, thanks.
Oh, well, you live and you learn. I won't go through that pothole again.
I've fallen off enough bikes. I should have had some broken ribs. No.
Did you ever break any bones? Never. Off bikes?
No.
Yeah, right.
Never.
But you had plenty of crashes?
Yeah. Maybe I wasn't trying hard enough.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Oh, good chat.
Yeah, it was good, Dad. Thanks for coming up.
Hopefully you change the world.
You know what? Maybe I will. Maybe I might change the world for one kid. If I can do that's that, can then hope. Maybe that's what I'm here for. Might be my kids, might be someone else's kids.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Dad.
No worries. Thank you.
It's all right.
See you later, dog.
All right, Alf. Hop down.